Good evening. I'd like to call the Clean Water Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015 to order. We will conduct a roll call. The sign-in sheet is rolling around. So Gary Schaefer, currently absent. Jim Carlson, currently absent. Marie LaManna?
Here.
David McDevitt?
Here.
David Meyer is absent by pre-notes, so excused. Susan Rasmussen, absent. Mark Schneider?
I'm here.
In attendance by phone. And Kate Chu?
Here.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for attending our last official meeting for 2015. Let's walk through the meeting package. Just to be clear, it's a pretty short agenda. Hopefully we'll move right promptly through and people can go home and actually have dinner, which would be, terrific. Or eating a burger while they're driving, is the case. So if you'll look at your packet, you'll note that we're going to go through the meeting summary notes and ask everybody for approval. We'll take time for public comments, but I don't see any public members in attendance, so we'll probably get through that rapidly. We do have the presentation, which Bobby had recently sent out, so we'll take a look at that and see if there are any comments at this particular point, and if so, make notes. Have our commission discussion time, public comments again. The other item I temporarily skipped was we will, at this meeting, take nominations and actually elect our chair and vice chair for 2016 to take effect at the January 2016 meeting. So those of you who are in attendance get to nominate and vote. All right, any questions before we get started? No, no questions, then we shall move forward. So if you'll take a look at the meeting summary notes, are there any changes, additions, questions, or comments to the meeting notes as they exist? No comments? If there are no comments, do I have a motion to accept the meeting notes as written?
So moved.
Do I have a second? To second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
No opposition. 5-0. All right, super. Public comments. Nobody sitting at the public comment table, going once, going twice. Public comments are closed. All right, we're going to move on to item number 3, which is the presentation discussion. So if everybody has their slides, I brought mine on laptop so that I'm prepared, but for those in attendance, including Mark, are there any comments, suggestions, changes, questions on the slides as currently presented? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Bree?
There's some really good YouTube videos about how to do a really nice PowerPoint. And one of the first facts that students should have is one key hiding your slides. So it's better to have good data, but there's too much information on each one. So I think more slides with the data is kind of
spread out more. But well, we were trying to keep the number of slides as
minimal
as minimal as possible.
But people either listen to you,
right,
or they're just looking behind you. Visual learning, mm-hmm,
right.
So while you're talking, you know, they can look at the key point, they like to look at the pictures, and they're listening to you, but it's too much.
Okay, so then either there's too much material that needs to be cut if the number of slides are appropriate, or if the right amount of material is there, you're suggesting the number of slides need to be increased.
More slides is, you don't have to sit there for a while. I mean, it's keep their attention going. You want to just keep going through. You're talking, you're looking at the audience, the slides are moving behind you, and the nice speech.
Okay, Mark, are you able to catch your comments at all? All right, so I will attempt to re-summarize Commissioner LaManna's comments, and that is that she believes that for the amount of material and information that are on the slides in this deck, that there is too much information and that you, the presenter will tend to lose the audience because the people are spending so much time trying to read the slides, they're not paying attention. So her suggestion is, yes, while we're trying to keep the number of slides as small as possible, that perhaps spreading this information and material out over some additional slides would be preferable, and she doesn't believe that you need to necessarily leave each slide on the screen for a long period of time. Did I summarize that correctly? Okay. All right. So the takeaway in your case is the amount of information is decent, but it needs to be spread out. Okay. Okay.
Too much writing.
There's a PowerPoint psychology.
Yeah. Okay.
Comments are right in line with that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Marie, other comments? No? Kate, any comments?
I just have a question, actually. I know this is for public outreach, but is it also intended to be kind of a quick resource for online public access?
So, Mark, no. Kate's question is... Is this slide set just for public outreach, or can it or should it serve as an online resource for people going to the website to go through as well? Yeah?
Yeah.
And so that's the question posed. What are we hearing in the way of possible answers?
I think with this, we've been so locked into one audience. That's a great idea. I think it expands the principle a bit. Yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
The reason why I'm asking is because for Marie's idea, which is absolutely crafty for PowerPoint, for public audience, you're speaking to them, but if you're trying to access them online, obviously you want all the information that is on here because you're not speaking to them. So
are you suggesting that maybe there are sort of two versions of the presentation? One that's an online that is condensed because they're going to read it anyway, and one that is slightly different because it's going to be presented.
This would be great for online. It's not too much sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, you catching that? Or did we lose it?
I lost it. Sounds like we lost it.
Menu. Where you've been and where you're going, and it's not really substantive, it's just sort of an additive thing that's sort of there so you can get an idea of the flow of following that.
I see what you're saying, that the
it's
almost like you have a table of contents here.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
There really is one.
Please leave your message for
Maybe.
So, sorry, I wasn't catching that.
You have more of a Kate's idea of having something
on the web,
and
it's
just the fact sheet, and
kind of
the same information, but
it would
just
be
read it.
Oh, so just more of a
document.
Mm-hmm.
More of a linear document.
Okay. I guess in using from a technology standpoint, you could have the index up front and hyperlinks, and they could tap the particular area if they had a particular interest as well.
Yeah.
It jumps into it. So, all right, so the suggestion there is that maybe the possibility of the online isn't necessarily even a slide set. It's more of a document, not a massive document, indexed so that they could jump to where they...
But this is a really good, this would be a great guide almost. Yeah, jumping off. Yeah, that's good.
Of PowerPoint.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, we got you back?
We're back.
All right. So what we were just discussing, what we were recovering, is Kate was asking about an online version versus a presentation version, and that sort of transitioned to the possibility that that the online version isn't necessarily a slide set at all. It's more of a document, and then that document then perhaps with links or hyperlink or something that they can read through, because if they're going to read, they're going to read. Mm-hmm. You can still include pictures and everything else, but so it could be slides for online, or it could be a document. And I think what we're hearing from staff is nodding some heads that that's some good feedback and might be worth looking into.
Yeah.
Okay. David had some comments. Other?
Oh, I was commenting that if it's organized as a singular textual document, it would be more linear in its presentation. And maybe some hyperlinks at the top of the page allow you to jump around a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, because there may be people who have a particular interest in something specific. Right. All right. Any other comments, David? Just for the record, Susan Rasmussen has joined us at about 6:43 p.m. Welcome, Susan. And what Susan, what we're doing, we have Mark on the phone. He's traveling, and for the first time ever, we're conferencing him in, including with the meeting. David Meyer is traveling and unavailable, and Gary and Jim are here. So what we're working through is the slide set that Bobby had sent out, and sort of touching on the slide set itself, the usefulness, and what we've summarized to this particular point is that Marie suggested that there's a lot of material in the slides, and that in a presentation she thinks that might be best served by spreading those over even more slides. Even though we're trying to keep it short, she thinks there's so much material that the participants might be reading the slides instead of listening to the presentation. So perhaps stretching it out. That's been one piece of feedback. Kate then was questioning whether the product would be online as well as in a presentation. And then out of that has come a discussion of either maybe a slightly different version of the slide set online, because people aren't just going to read it. They're probably not going to be listening to anybody. Or actually perhaps to make it a document rather than a slide set, so that they can just, again, read through it in a very linear fashion, maybe using some technology with some hyperlinks. You could, on the online version, you could, Grant, you mentioned earlier, made a comment about YouTube. I guess in those situations, you could link back into some of the YouTube videos that are available, and they could choose to watch them or not. But inclusion of some of those in the online version might make some sense.
Right.
And then David was summarizing again, mostly a document, linear fashion, et cetera. Mark, did you have a chance to look at the slides at all?
I did. Overall, I thought the slides were really quite good quality, and it seemed to me to be a deck that you could really kind of tailor make or customize to the individual group that you're speaking with. For example, if we're meeting with the Ladies Home Quilting Society in Vancouver, and they're interested in stormwater, then you may have some level of interest in the group that may take you in a little bit of a different direction. But the deck was actually provided a good skeleton for some good dialogue. Because really, that's what you're trying to do, is to get people, kind of educate people in terms of what the clean water program is really about, and then ask questions and the like.
Okay. Any other changes you would make, or any comments on the suggestions so far?
Well, for me, it would be one of the things that, I'd like to do would be to go out and experience it, or go out and talk to a group, and then I think we may be able to make some, minor modifications, some changes, from a couple of experiences. And I guess that would be the way I would approach it.
Okay, good suggestion. All right, Susan, any thoughts?
Piggybacking on that, my first comment was right tailored to your audience. And if we could somehow, you know, including age, like if we have a presentation aimed at elementary versus high school versus a senior, if it's a living group, a gardening group, target to their interests and in possibly age. You know, I could see a group of, you know, of gardeners. They're interested in dramatically different from, you know, from a group of engineers.
Or businesses of various
types.
Right. So then the question is, how do you, or can you reasonably make some sort of adjustments as appropriate for groups? And what will it take? I mean, that just
because you have a note section in PowerPoint.
Right.
You know, you keep your slides simple so you can do elementary. But in your note section, you get into maybe more of the specific details that the business or the engineers kind of are going to be asking you.
Right.
Okay.
You have two sets of notes.
Right. And like for the elementary, maybe incorporate, vibrant colors and cartoon characters or something that's relevant to that age group.
You know, that actually strikes an interesting thought, because if, I guess sort of in our, this is kind of philosophical, in our society today, certainly one of the ways that different groups approach, whether it be climate issues, energy use, et cetera, is through the children in the schools programs. But to do that, to your point, you have to catch their attention.
Right.
And so you're using visuals that will grab them, and they'll perhaps remember it. You know, then in the grand scheme, you have a special cartoon character for the Clark County Clean Water Program. Sorry.
Jimmy the Raindrop.
Jimmy the Raindrop.
Yeah,
okay. You laugh, but you know what? It actually could be something put together, and you guys done this in the past.
Yeah,
look what you did. Jimmy the Raindrop.
We already have him.
Yeah, we already have him.
Look at this.
You know,
you have Jimmy the Raindrop stickers.
Yeah.
Right?
Stickers.
Yeah, anyway, okay, let's not get we're getting into solutions, but anyway. But, well, actually, you know, you think about it, you have to make it fun for the people presenting as well, right?
Yeah, but, you know, Jimmy's not so clean cousin, Jimmy the turtle.
Mine's got a picture on it. And if not a picture, then there's a graph. The way I think about it is what we have here is kind of a skeleton structure that provides you the format that you need to have to provide consistency. So on presentations, but at a certain point, you know, gardening society may have a little different twist on their interest, and you want it to be interesting to the groups. And so, you know, there's certain groups that you want to have more information, and so you'll want to be able to have a deck here that provides the basis for you to do that.
Well, I can see a gardening society, and you have two pictures. One is with dirty water, of course, the result of the plants and that, and clean water, and they're thriving, blooming, growing, you know, producing bountiful harvests. Anyway, that's sort of maybe. Okay. Other comments or suggestions on the slide deck? Is it Chris, Dean?
I was just going to throw out, I think it's the book here. I've been working with Public Works just this week talking about getting low-impact development models made. And that's something that, you know, would easily could be taken to schools. But basically having various impervious surfaces, we have different kinds we can get, soils underneath each of those surfaces, so they get a good cross-section look-see, you know, how sand handles the water that moves through that material versus clay versus silt loam. So we're looking at developing, you know, having these models that we can use to go out, and that's one of the purposes to go out in the schools. We as a division are wanting to be more proactive in that. Our permit is basically telling us we need to be
sure
for ed outreach next year anyway, so this sort of effort, and this is, of course, for you guys to help in that effort.
Sure, sure.
And I really support that, but I think the point was made that we got to think of our audience, but also I think you guys need to think of, is this something that you're comfortable presenting to? I think
sure. Sure. Art, did you catch Dean's comment about working on examples of different permeable surfaces and actually models so that it could actually be kind of a show and tell, hands on?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
That probably actually would get attention from adults as well.
Yep.
And I quite literally take that cup of water and pour some on each of them and sort of see what happens, etc. And they talk about in schools experiential. For kids, hands-on, if they can touch it, feel it, etc., how much more impact it ends up having on their learning and retention.
We have a model. Did we have that at the fair where we sprinkled colored gel and then it rained on the terrain, and then the kids could see, it all mushed together to the ground.
Oh, the gel runoff.
Yeah, gel runoff. Yeah, I don't know what.
That was in our
I think that was like in a Viroscape, maybe a solid waste sort of that model.
Yeah, it was in the van. I believe it was in our van. I can't remember what we called the van.
Yeah, but it's similar. And then our concept of obviously the kids, if they're really engaged and find a bit like a home to mom and dad. Sure. Mom and dad is where most of our outreach efforts have been. But
we do know. Which schools in Clark County are participating in the Green Schools Initiative out of Washington State. So from those that are participating, something like that is an absolute natural to reach out to them in the hands-on stuff, I would think.
Right. Give them an activity to, engage them, and then send them home with handouts to do later. Tell sheets of coloring books or something that they can talk to with their folks.
And this is through the who?
Port of Vancouver.
Through the Port of Vancouver. Did you catch that, Mark?
No, I missed most of that.
Okay, so Port. Kate says that that she's aware of an effort out of the Port of Vancouver. They've actually created a little system. They have a name associated with it. She believes it's Gratix. Grattix, or one T. Matt Graves being one of the names, that it actually shows the process. They've got some stuff online that shows filtration and the layers and what's done and so forth. So she's suggesting to Dean and to Chris that they might want to take a look into that and see if there's a way to leverage that as well. Okay? Good. What else? Anything else that's jumping out? Dean, Chris? No, for the moment? Okay.
I think the only thing I would add to the conversation here is that I went through the deck here, and I think it's slot number 12, where there's some examples of community outreach. And to me, this is a great opportunity for the commission to have another set of data for some information. So, for example, if we are out talking to a group of dog owners, and one of the examples are canines for clean water, then we have another handout, or we engage the group in some discussion around a topic that's really critical to that group, canines. So so this to me is just a platform to really begin to engage people.
It's a good point. There is a I'm forgetting the name. My wife knows it. There is a group, an organization in Clark County that actually works with the county for dog parks.
Mm-hmm.
The dog park?
The one that runs the dog park?
Is it dog park?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure that the organization is terribly well run. That's a whole other topic. but they can certainly, they are an avenue to reach a lot of people and engage in that. So, good point, Mark.
Or even apartment
complex that there's actually a lot.
For the ones that do, it's always supplied in the front lobby.
Okay. All right. Well, I just looked it up. It is a G-R-A-T-T-I-X. Gratix.
G-R-A-T-T-I-X?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had spelled right.
And so if you, there's a YouTube video on it.
Yeah.
So I can include that when I send out the notes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Were we involved in designing that?
No, it's not two people. I actually didn't contact
them.
I just thought it was so neat.
All right. Any other comments or at this point? So actually, no, I take away here that we not only have talked about the slides and the possibilities, but that's actually moved us along the path to talking about other groups. How to structure for different groups and audiences and possible tools to show examples, et cetera. So there's lots of pieces here. Ultimately, I guess in the case of the Clean Water Commission, our job would be, in essence, as we've discussed in the past, to identify groups to reach out to and touch, work with staff to make sure that we've got a presentation that's going to meet the needs of the group with whatever tweaks. Because we certainly don't want to be going off A, rogue, and B, we want to make sure that we are presenting the information which is approved, and that C, we have a follow-up process after each presentation so that we can report back for the record, and if there are questions or issues or comments, that there is a process in place to follow up with the appropriate party or parties to go with it so that we really show a clear, clean effort up. Clear effort to reach out to them. Any other comments on the slides or this topic at this point? Going once, going twice? Okay, let's move on. Let's talk now about the annual report. For those who weren't here last year, we start in this time frame producing our report to be submitted to staff and to Mark McCauley, and I guess in essence probably through the counselors as well. Last year we got a few minutes to actually present and ask questions. We have the version that we did last year, and if you haven't had a chance, we can make sure we distribute that. You can see what we did, and wide open to whether we should follow the same kind of format or not. What happened last year, because we had a lot of transition going on, I wrote the first draft, and then we circulated it and went from there. But I want to open the floor as to how you guys would prefer going about it. I have no ownership. We can certainly start with one or a couple people. I assume it should be distributed to everybody so that we get the proper full feedback. I don't know if staff has a particular format they would prefer. If they want something different, Dean, you're new in the role, you might prefer a different structure or format.
I don't ever recall seeing last year's. I think I did.
This is your report.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure that we're taking into account.
I don't think we have any strong preferences to pass along.
Okay. So I guess if you haven't seen it, what I'd like to do is make arrangements to distribute to last year so you can look at it, look over the format.
Should be in the beginning of your notebooks.
Okay. Oh,
should be a tab for that.
So, what I'd like to do is to make sure that we're in agreement on what the basic structure is, and then we can figure out exactly how to go about writing it. and what the process. Again, if you want to follow last year's, then I'm happy to take a stab at the initial draft and then put it into circulation, and then we can refine it. The objective would be to have our final report completed, written, and approvable at our January 2016 meeting. So,
I just have another personal reference. I thought that the Board of County Councilors, I thought it went well last year, the presentation.
Yeah, they hadn't read it, but yeah, other than that,
well,
it went fine.
It was short, you know, and the necessary data was right there at fingertips. They could easily read it and interpret it, and, you know, you were there for, to answer questions.
No, I mean, the format for presenting and so forth,
right.
Getting them to read it ahead of time is always a good thing.
Right.
But, you know, it's... They didn't, but okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of trying to keep this stuff as short and sweet as possible. You know, get to what we accomplished and what we didn't accomplish, and looking forward about things that we would like to accomplish in the coming year.
I think they appreciated that. Short and to the point.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was well received, maybe do it again. Only, you know, just, you know, elaborate possibly on recent work. Like, you know, the slide update.
Right.
We would
address everything that we thought we did accomplish. I want to make sure that we address what we had thought we were going to accomplish for the year and that we didn't.
What were the aspirations that we didn't really get to?
Well, the swamp program never really materialized as one. The intention was that we would have actually been giving presentations to the public, you know, starting early in the year, and that didn't materialize. And, I mean, I'm not throwing blame or it just things happen. Okay, so, but just walking through what we planned to do, what we actually did, what we didn't do, no excuses. What we're going to work on for next year. And I think we should be able to do that whole thing in probably 3 to 5 pages. Okay? That's my thought log. So, but if somebody else wants to use last year's as a template and somebody else wants to write the first draft, I'm fully prepared to allow someone to do that. If there's a volunteer. If you want me to take the first draft, I'm happy to do that as well. Your choice. But if you want to do something totally different, then put it on the table. Or, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that is like, I like your format. Like,
okay.
Thank you.
So, would you like to take the first shot at drafting? Okay. All right. So Commissioner LaManna has offered to write the first draft of this year's report using generally the format from last year. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Do we need a motion?
I don't think so. This is good. It's just a draft. And so so let me ask you this. Let's set a tentative, can you set a target date for the first draft, approximately?
Probably want to say December, so that we can get it drafted and get ready for January.
Okay. All right. So then your target is by in essence the first very early few days of December to have a draft in circulation for us, so that during the month of December we can work through, get finalized for final review and approval at our January 2016 meeting.
Yeah.
Well, she goes through the form. If she's going to write the first draft, she can tell us whether she needs or what's missing and clarifications and so forth. So, Mark, does that work for you?
Works good.
Okay. All right. Works terrifically for me. No issue whatsoever. Any other comments or questions about the preliminary draft for this year's report?
Did we want to plan a meeting for
December? Well, we can, but I personally, based on last year, I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
I think we can probably do a full circulation and get it all cleaned up and refined in time. So at their January meeting, we will do a full review to make sure that we got it all right, including dotting the I's, crossing the T's, checking our spelling, and the whole nine yards.
And then that's when you guys will do a motion to accept it or amend it or whatever.
Right. And then at that particular point, then we'll go through the submission process. If the program follows last year, we would, I guess, hope to get on the agenda maybe in the February time frame as a target. We don't want to go too long because then we've already eaten a quarter of the year. So we try to target getting on the agenda for presentation. Now, when we do that, historically, the chair and vice chair attend, but all other members, Susan was in attendance this last year. Everybody's invited to attend and sit at the table and answer questions from the powers that be and work our way through. Particularly the person who drafted. She's up for that. Okay. Any other questions or comments about the annual report?
But just real quick, from my understanding, there's a probably a section of the report that's sort of looking at goals for 2016.
Yes.
So I think there's a great opportunity with this report because the outreach portion and the topic of LID, I mean, that's the key feature change in our next manual. And so, like it or not, this commission will really be kind of at the center with their outreach efforts. I mean, basically, there's a real opportunity for the commissioners or sorry, counselors are definitely well aware of our new manual and the importance of abiding by our NIPTES permit. And so that's a big part of our complying with the permit starting next year and for the next, 8 years beyond that. So this outreach effort is not any small thing. It's a real key component to our complying with that permit. So, I mean, not that you probably need any help being made important, but I think the level of importance could really step up for this group, I think, with that look ahead.
David?
With regard to that, I think you're right. And I think that what we owe in duty and responsibility is to really try to focus our efforts. In the past year, we had the swamp program that never got off the ground. And I think if this coming year, what we do is we pick one thing, and I think it's that outreach. And I think we really focus on the outreach aspect for the 2016 year without taking on a sundry other little, nice to haves. Really put an effort into just that one thing. If we can do that one thing really well, then we will be fine.
So I guess a suggestion is, as we're waiting for Marie's first draft, think about a goal or even two that you think from the commission standpoint that would be paramount for 2016 so that we can make sure that we plug those in. You know, we may end up having, five or six or seven in the first early draft, and it will whittle those down to whatever is manageable or effective. But start thinking about things you think. And this, if this is the only one, then so be it. It's the only one. But if there are a couple of others, then just be thinking. You can plug those into the draft when they come out.
Well, I'm thinking the LID and the swamp program dovetail together. And our swamp program is evaporating. So, maybe we need to.
The wetlands are drying up.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need to kickstart that somehow.
Well,
I don't know what to do.
Well, I think from a, if we go through and work out what our goals are, it will become clear. And if there's something that evolves out of whatever swamp was or could have been or might be with something else, then let's see if that makes sense. But yeah, who knows? But we do want to keep it short and sweet. I agree. It's want to overreach. But let's just put our thinking caps on. Okay. Any other discussion on the annual report at this point? The next item on the agenda is nomination and election of the 2016 chair and vice chair. I did check with Mark and David to in their absence, because I didn't know we were going to have Mark on the phone at that point in time, and asked both of them whether, if their names came up, whether they would be interested in either a chair or vice chair position. And they both indicated that based on their travel and their other responsibilities, they were reticent to put themselves into the position. They'd certainly like to be full members and involved. Am I stating that correctly, Mark?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. And that's what David indicated in communication as well. So as we move forward, the chair and vice chair will take effect in our January 2016 meeting. So I guess at this particular point, procedurally, then we can open up nominations for the chair position for 2016. We'll complete that, and then we'll do the same thing for the vice chair. Okay? So do we have nominations for the Clark County Clean Water Commission chair position for 2016? So we have one nomination so far, Dick Rylander. Do we have other nominations? We have head shaking. Mark, somebody you want to nominate?
No, I totally agree with Dick.
No other nominations.
Dick.
All right. Well, if there are no other nominations, then we will close nominations. And do you want to do a voice vote, or do you want to do a written vote?
Voice vote is just fine.
Voice vote is acceptable. All in favor of Dick Rylander continuing as the chair for the Clark County Clean Water Commission for the year 2016, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, the count in is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 0. Say yes. So, thank you very much. Now, let's move to the vice chair position for 2016. I'd like to open nominations. We have nominations for the vice chair. Yeah, I'm going to wait and see if. Well,
has a conversation taken place with the area?
Has not.
So we don't know if he would be willing.
We do not
continue or not, despite the fact that we know his term doesn't wait until 2017.
Right.
December 31st, 2017.
Right. So, I mean, do we have nominations? Wide open. Again, David and Mark have both indicated that at this particular point.
I have another question then.
Yes.
Because there are three people, Susan, Kate, and also Jim Carlson, whose term ends at the end of this December.
That's correct.
Do we know if any of these three people are renewing their interest in participating for another 3-year term or not?
My understanding is that Kate has resubmitted her letter, and I actually cannot answer about Susan or Jim. I have no knowledge.
I'm kind of waiting to see what my calendar's been.
Okay, so Susan's unsure at this point, and as best of my knowledge, I haven't heard a thing from Jim in months. So I just have no knowledge. Do we know if he's even submitted a letter of interest to continue?
I do not believe at this time that he has.
Okay.
Well, in light of Kate submitting her application to continue on for another 3 years, I don't think Kate.
Marie, you have a question.
Question.
Why
did you say the vice chair? Good question.
If he doesn't show up, you run the meeting.
Oh. Well, and the other thing that I do is I reach out in general, but specifically to the vice chair for any specific topical areas, agenda formation. I have asked each of you as well, but I also turn to the vice chair to make sure that there's, if there's anything else going on, or things that we need to dig into, or there's some sort of splitting of responsibilities for outreach efforts. So does it take much time? The answer is no, it hasn't. Doesn't mean that it couldn't. So I don't know, can I nominate two people? Well, I'd like to actually suggest both Kate and Marie. So I would nominate both if I could nominate both procedurally. I'm not sure that allowed. So if David's nominating Kate, then I will nominate Marie so that they're both on the agenda. If they're both open to being nominated, that's the presumption.
So knowing what you know, can you say a word or two about your interest in fulfilling that role?
I would be, I think I'd feel comfortable in that position.
Okay. So, do we have any other nominations for vice chair at this point in time? Hearing none, we'll close nominations. We have two candidates. We have Kate and we have Marie. Probably we need to do a written ballot in this case, yes? Procedurally?
You can. Procedurally, I would double check with board member Amanda if she's interested.
I thought she said yes.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I missed that.
Yeah, I thought she said yes, and Kate said yes. So since we have two, then yes. Does everybody have a little piece of paper? If not, I'll pull some paper out, and then maybe. Mark, what we can do here is I will have Bobby pick up the phone, and you can tell Bobby who which one you want to vote for. How's that? Okay, so.
So you take off.
Okay, you're on the phone. Okay. You're welcome. I'm going to put you back on. Hopefully, I don't lose you.
Do a tiebreaker if necessary.
No, that's not. Well, procedurally, you would keep doing
you
ballots.
You would actually keep voting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Or unless one of you withdraws.
There you go. Yeah, if one of you had said you didn't want to do it.
Just draw big filled-in circles like a lottery or something.
Okay, so if you would please.
Good thing.
I have to vote too.
Yes, vote.
Oh gosh. Okay.
And then I'll
and
rather
then
them
pick
for
up
Kelly.
The votes. Who brought cookies? Oh no.
I was unprepared.
Thanks.
And we shall we will need at least well, we can have the three of them review then. For accuracy.
Okay, these are in no particular order
okay.
Because I've mixed them up.
Is that Survivor?
Okay.
Yep. Marie, one vote. Kate, one vote. Kate, one vote. Kate, another vote. Marie, one vote. And Kate, the final vote.
Kate,
so
the
Kate,
new vice chair. For
congratulations.
Congratulations.
By secret ballot. All right. That actually worked pretty smooth. So we didn't have to worry about the tiebreaker. It's just terrific. So, Kate, you will take your vice chair position at our January 2016 meeting. And we'll talk as we work along for any other specifics. Discussion time. Anything in particular, including you, Mark, that anybody would like to bring up for the good of the commission or the county or clean water program? Anything you want to discuss?
On the fee update report,
do we have an update?
We're going to be probably looking at some things more holistically in January. I'm going to assume at this point that that is going to be some part of that. A chunk of it is going to be on the January
agenda. Okay.
We still have some plates spinning on that.
Okay.
That haven't really come to rest yet. So I'm hoping to have a clear picture of what it is that we need, you know, what it is we can target and come to some decision on by then.
Okay. All right. So anticipating, Mark, a January meeting that we'll have an update and discussion and the potential impact on activities of the Clean Water Commission for 2016 at the January meeting.
And
the budget.
Oh, and Mark had previously asked for some more information about the budget side of things, which has also been one of the responsibilities of this commission, which we really haven't touched on for some time. And we will be reaching into that topical area at the January meeting as well. David?
Mine is a question of interest more than anything else. Because this is the time of the year for leaves to be falling rather regularly, what is our role with respect to storm drains getting clogged up with leaves and creating flooding in the streets? Do we have one, or is that...
Well, I can tell you that from a public works perspective, who do the street sweeping and stuff for the county, they ask that people remove the leaves from those. There's free leaf recycling that's going on right now to help people help clean that up because there's an abundance of it. If people are having problems with clogged drains and they're not willing or capable of cleaning them themselves, they can call the Public Works Operations number. It's 397-2446. And they will put somebody to go out and check that storm drain. So they'll just need an address, location of that. Same thing if there's a stormwater facility, they also run out and check those as well. It's a 24-hour dedicated line.
And actually that happened just today?
Yep.
Yeah, one today. So
no, I guess the answer is nothing that's direct. It's done for public safety.
We, as a department, we have put out though prior to storm events, we've done news releases, and I know 2 years ago Don was on the news, you know, standing in a drain, cleaning it out, type thing. I mean, we do try to do some news releases, especially in front of a large storm, like the one we had here at Halloween. That's what we usually try to do.
We do a better job than our neighbors.
Yes.
Any other general discussion for the commission, for the good of the group, for the county?
Mm-hmm. I just said that we have some goals to start with for December 17th.
Ah, okay. So, Mark, Maria is suggesting that if you have some thoughts on goals for 2016, you don't have to wait for the first draft. You can go ahead and send them to her right away, and she'll make sure that she incorporates all that without judging them.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yes, Bobby.
How many commissioners have started their Gmail accounts, the CCWC ones?
Yeah, so Gary has his done, and I know I have David's, and I have Kate's, and I have Marie's, and I have Mark Schneider's. I don't believe Susan has, and I don't have one for Jim Carlson. So to the best of my knowledge, at this particular point, we lack the two.
Okay. Because so, that could be your avenue of
sure,
working.
Sure, and we'll talk about that sharing. Because I'd like to move into use of the Google Docs setup within the group setting, and this would be a great opportunity to do that. So we would request, if you need help setting it up, we can do that.
Thank you.
Well, seriously, not an issue, right? Yeah, okay. It could be. Okay. Any other discussion for the group? Looking at the public comments table, there continues to be no one in attendance for public comments. There any final notes or comments or discussion for the Clark County Clean Water Commission for the meeting Wednesday, November 4th, 2015? Hearing none and seeing none, the meeting is closed at 7:27 p.m.